At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening and welcome back for the second hour of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. Our guest tonight is Heather Woodward, and she is the founder of The Real Deal and coordinator of 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention held at the Haunted Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula, California. She's a tarot card reader, a clairvoyant, and a medium. Tonight we're going to explore a little bit about her gifts, and we're going to talk about, as I mentioned, the upcoming 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention that is coming up here in July. And that's going to be taking place July 20th and 21st. Speakers are going to include Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Richard Sennett, Tom Durant, Bill Murphy. I'll be there as well, so come on out, shake hands, say hi. There's going to be workshops on tarot and demonology, a walking ghost tour of the Glen Tavern Inn, and much more. So please join us out there. Make sure that you come out and have a little bit of fun. And we're going to get to our guest, Heather, at this point. Heather, are you there with us?
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us this evening. I appreciate you being here with us.
Oh, no problem.
So let's talk a little bit about this. Now, you are a clairvoyant and a medium. Explain to me what a clairvoyant does.
A clairvoyant is someone that is psychic sensitive who sees things. There's clairsentient, clairaudio. It all has to do with what sense you use when you're doing a reading or when you're reading a room. So I pick up things and I see them in my mind's eye.
Okay, so you get, like, flashes or images of things is how things come through for you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So when I'm reading somebody with tarot cards or when I'm reading a room or when I'm talking to somebody, a picture will go across my head kind of like a... The only thing I think of is like a movie screen. My mind is a movie screen and I start to see pictures or events or numbers or whatever it is that I'm supposed to get.
Now, do you work a lot like John Edward where... Maybe it's your family that pops into your mind or something like that, but they show you things that you recognize so that you can understand or help them understand what you're seeing?
I do have a set of symbolism. Certain things do apply only to me, so I know what they mean. And I do, it does come from your own, you know, cognizance. So there are a lot of times where you do get situations that apply to you.
Uh-huh.
And then you apply them to the person. So, yeah, there is a lot of that. It is sort of like John Edward, but John Edward is more of a, he is empathic. He picks up people's emotions and people's... Okay.
Well, when I'm curious, exactly. Heather, when you're watching shows and you see something like John Edward or Sylvia Brown, do you ever wave the BS flag when you're watching them?
You're going to ask me that.
Do you see it? Do you see the truth or see a different version or know that they're faking it?
I have questions about Sylvia Brown. I know that I've actually watched a lot of John Edwards to see how he does things because there was a question as to whether he was real or not. To be totally honest, I don't believe that he most of the time is speaking to dead people, as he says.
Okay.
I think he's empathic and he's actually reading the experiences of the dead person from the person who's standing there. So he's picking up on their experiences with that person.
Okay. That makes total sense to me.
The dead person itself.
Sure.
I just don't...
But what about, like, those people that I mean, I'm sure you run into psychic amnesia, right? Where people, they can't think what the hell you're talking about until later, and all of a sudden it hits them. So if Tim is sitting here kind of blank-minded, which is not unlike Tim, but if you're sitting there, you're sitting there doing a reading for Tim, and you're telling him about this woman's coming through and she's showing a spotted pony, and he's, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And then later it hits him, oh, well, that was Aunt Margaret. She had a spotted pony, and I used to ride it on her farm. If he wasn't thinking, you're a weird man, Tim. If he wasn't thinking about Aunt Margaret, how are you still picking it off him? Or are we in a sense like psychometry, like when people take their rings off and give them the psychics and psychics can read it? Have we got that imprinted storyline tapped into our aura?
I think we do. Well, it's proven that you have in your DNA, you have traits, hereditary traits from your ancestors. Even if you don't know them, you still have pieces of them in your cell. And that
genetic memory, though.
Yeah, genetic memory. Sure. Okay. Sure. You can have cravings from a family member way down the line.
See, there you go, Tim. You're just having cravings
from a spotted pony.
Yes, from a dead
spotted pony. Yes.
From a dead relative.
It works the same way. Your aura is composed of not just you. It's your whole. Your line of people. So if you're reading somebody's energy, yeah, you can pull up anybody who they're associated with. So, okay. And people that they will be associated in the future too, if you're precog. But, I think John Edward and people who are empathic like that, they just pull from the person and then they pick out whatever they want to pick out or whatever comes up strongest.
So you think like the aura is kind of the hard drive and it stores all, or the memory. And it stores all these memories of things that have happened to you and bits and pieces of your genetic makeup?
Not the aura per se, but your energy, what your energy field, what you are made up of, and whatever the column of energy that you have in your body that makes up who you are. I don't think it's... I think your aura emanates that, but I don't think that's the core of it. I think the core of it is just your energy field. So if you have an energy field and it's made up of your DNA, then you can essentially just pull from that.
I think I'm made up of buffalo wing sauce, Tim. I don't know about you.
After last week, I'm full of cheesesteak.
That is true. Yeah.
Now, maybe some celery.
Belle from our chat room was wondering, have you ever met anybody that you just can't do a reading on at all? They just,
it's
totally flat. Is that because they're trying to block you? Can people block? Boom,
oh,
just throw up
definitely.
A wall?
Definitely. Okay. People can block. If the whole thing is if someone doesn't want you to know something,
right.
Most of the time you probably won't. You can't hide certain things, but you can block, yes, definitely. I've had a few people where I'm just like, you know what, I just can't read you, sorry. You know, when you want to know something, come back to me. But, you know, right now, I can't read you, sorry. I mean... And to be honest, that's how it should be. You know, you only
do a reading for the people that actually want a reading.
You only do reading for people that really want to know. And
isn't that frustrating to you as a business person as well to have people come waste your time that are just wanting to challenge you and they're going to do their best to block you? And when there's people that actually want your help, does that ever get frustrating to you? Are you ever just like, Jesus, grow up, go find something else to do?
No, you'll know talking to somebody for the first 5 minutes if they really want to know or not. So I have just said, you know what, I can't do a reading today, sorry. But you'll know when somebody really wants to be read, they're very open and you just start picking up things right away.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I'll be shuffling cards or I'll be talking to somebody and I already know what the reading is going to be about.
Well, let me ask you about tarot reading.
Sure.
Is it tarot?
Tarot. It's really tarot, but I say tarot. I'm American. Okay. A bad American.
We've bastardized it.
We just bastardized everything.
Okay, so
it is tarot, though.
So you got them their tarot cards, and you're doing reading. Now, what I'm curious about is how do you know what these cards mean? I mean, is there just a little glossary that tells you what the basics is, or do you look at it? Because I've seen some people do readings where they, you know, people pull the card, and it's more about what the person thinks the card means than it is about what the card actually means, or is it the card explains what it is, and you can, I mean, because most of those, you got to admit, can be horned into just about anybody's life.
This is true. There are basic meanings.
Right.
Cups are generally water, water signs, emotion. The rods are usually career fire-based people. What else? There's I'm drawing a blank. Pentacles, which is money, and career, and then swords, which is air people, and strife or problems. So and then each set goes from 1 to 10, which is like a cycle.
Okay.
So depending on where you are in your cycle in your life is what numbers you're going to pick up. So if you just know the basics, you can kind of figure out, like, if a person gets all rods, then you definitely know that.
Hey, that's pretty cool. You got a soundtrack that comes with you, huh?
Sorry.
Is that just my imagination?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I heard it too, Tim.
If you get a lot of rods, then you definitely have a career issue, you know, or something having to deal with something creative. So you can kind of pick up on that. But then also, when you've been reading for a very, very long time,
mm-hmm.
You get your own symbols from cards. You know, you know your cards well. And so certain cards mean certain things secondary.
Well, let me ask you this, too.
Sure.
And I'm not trying to be skeptical, but I am skeptical. I'm just trying to get a handle and understanding on this. I mean, most people that come looking for help, they want to know about love, a job, money. I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
The top three, yeah.
Okay. So when most people are coming to you about that, I mean, do they tell you first, you know, yeah, I'm curious about my career, and then you do a reading, and then you...
Usually I don't ask.
Okay. So then they just... the cards just come up, and then you're able to tell, well, it's about career and,
sure.
and do readings?
Yeah. I mean...
How often are you ever questioning that you're actually doing a reading or you're just using good common sense skills and giving somebody really good advice?
To be honest, it's a combination of both. I'm not going to say that it's totally my ability that sets up a reading. I mean, there's just common sense. People come to you for a little bit of therapy, too. So I'm not going to say that it's totally my gift that is winning them over. But the thing is with me is I do a lot of precog stuff, too. Like, I have a timeline, usually. Usually I can tell you up to 6 months what's going to happen. So I can give you a general timeline, and a lot of times I do give you specific incidences. So
now, do you need the cards in order to do that?
Or sometimes. It depends on the person.
Well, like you and I talking right now, and I don't want to put you too much on the spot, but is there anything that can jump out at you that you're like, yeah, you know, Dave, you should be aware of this, or you should know that?
From talking to you, I get that your career is very important to you, and that you should probably branch out more as far as your conventions go. Just
okay.
that you probably have something that you're thinking about that's going to widen the market a bit, and that you should go with it. And I don't know what it is specifically, because, like I said, I've only talked to you for, like, less than 5 minutes here.
Sure.
But as I go along, maybe I can figure it out. But that's just off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, yeah, if it comes more into you, if you pick up anything for Tim and I as you're doing this, throw it out
yeah.
there because we're interested, you know. If you sense us, you know, meeting Ms. Wright in the future.
No,
or Mr. I'm not here to judge.
I see that you have the only thing I'm seeing right now is that you have, and it was kind of niggling at me when I was talking to you, is that there's something really big coming up, like some really, really, really big project, something that, I don't know if it's associated with your conventions, but it's something that is different. It's kind of...
All right, we're going to break the news. Tim and I have developed our own Darkness Radio Monopoly board game.
Yeah!
We call it Darkopoly.
Darkopoly!
Oh, good grief. All right, well then, let's get back in. You know, we've got people begging us on the boards, too. Is there any chance you'd be willing to do a reading or two via phone tonight?
Yeah, once we have do we have a commercial break? Because I have to pull my cards out, but I have them with me.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll what time is it, Tim? We've got about 5-6 minutes before our first break.
Yeah.
So we'll do that, and then we'll take a couple calls. Tim, why don't you throw the number out there? But don't give us a call until you hear us going to first break, and we're going to probably only take one or two calls because we've got other things to cover as well. So go ahead, Tim. Phone number is
952-830-1470.
And let's do that one more time.
952-830-1470. If you're listening to this on a download, please don't call that number. We won't answer.
That's right. If you're, the show is not live if you have to download it later. So we'll do that. Now, let me get a little bit of information about you. Now, you've been doing this for how long that you've had these abilities?
Well, I've seen ghosts. And I've seen spirits since I was a kid.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
I've been reading tarot for over 10 years, though.
Okay.
I just learned how to automatic write, so I'm doing that too now. That's a little different.
But, now, let me ask you, now that's of the devil. No.
It is. No.
I hear that that's a problem because that, like Ouija board, is allowing the spirit into you to move you. What kind of fears do you have about those? I mean, are you afraid of an attachment, of an evil entity get a hold of you?
Actually, no, because I am fearful of channeling, and I can channel, and I hate it, okay? I absolutely hate it. I do not like things attaching to me or going through me. The only reason why I learned how to do automatic writing is because it takes channeling, but it's kind of an external channeling. It's actually not going through you. It's going through your pen. So the pen is the foci, and you're pulling energy externally, not internally. And so it's not going through you.
But isn't that just like saying the Ouija board? They're just moving the planchette, not
no,
using
your hand.
No, because
when you're doing a Ouija board, you're opening a door.
Okay.
It's different. When you're pulling from universal energy, you're just pulling out bits and pieces of stuff. I mean, you're talking to a ghost through through the pen. So it's just a foci for you to pull energy from. Now, when you're doing a Ouija board, you're actually consciously opening a door. So the thing is what people don't realize with Ouija boards is that if you don't close the door, you have a portal, basically, through your Ouija board. So things can come in and out. So if you're working, I don't even work with Ouijas because it's, like I said, it's, why would you want to open a door to the world? You know, that's something that you can't open or close at will. That's just, it's kind of stupid.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, that's what we've heard so many problems with Ouija boards and that. I was just curious what your thoughts were on that because I know people are going to jump on me about the whole.
Oh, yeah, I know. But it's really, you're not channeling a spirit like in the traditional sense. Like I said, it's very, very external. I go into a trance, basically. I meditate a lot, so I can kind of go into a trance very quickly. Just takes me a couple minutes. I make my mind blank. A lot of times I actually see the words or I see the actions before I write it. So sometimes if I can't write fast enough, I actually start talking. But it isn't like a invasive kind of thing.
All right.
So, like I said, because I hate channeling. Ugh, icky.
Now, do you ever channel when you don't expect to? I mean, have you ever been sitting there and you're just like, oh, yeah.
No.
I have
a lot of defenses because I do read people a lot and I do paranormal investigations so much that I do have a very good defense system. So I do feel like a few times when I've been investigating, I do feel that sense like somebody's laying on top of you trying to channel. And I always say, nope, you know, sorry. Personal space. If you want to talk to me, you need to, you know, talk to me at a distance that I can
take
handle.
Me out to dinner before you try to channel me, baby.
Oh yeah, girl.
Do you when you're doing this, what do you do? And we just asked this of our last guest, Serenity. What do you do to protect yourself?
I do a lot of meditation.
Okay.
I do a lot of guided stuff. Like I mean, and I you practice white light a lot, like getting a white light all around your body.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely choose who I decide to read and who I don't because some people just have really icky energy and you don't want that on you.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Also...
Tim, I don't want your icky energy on me either.
Come on, baby!
So, you know, it depends on who you're reading and you just have to be careful, you know?
Okay.
If something's darker and you feel it attaching to you, you know, white light, you know, and you breathe and you... I do a lot of chakra stuff, too. But I like to keep my chakras aligned, so that way it keeps your aura big and strong. And
strong emanates. Like wool.
Yeah. I mean, you can really feel. Once you start meditating a lot and you start aligning chakras and stuff, you can feel when something gets too close. You know, you instinctively push it out.
You know, the reason I said, I mean, it seems like everybody's answer is basically the white light theory. Now, that's just intent, though, isn't it? You're shielding yourself with intention that you just don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it. Like, it depends on your visualization. I mean, some people visualize other things. I visualize a white light, but I visualize it's enough so that if something wants to contact me, they can get through it. But if I don't like it, I can push it out, you know?
Sure.
So I do a lot of, okay... You know, you can come and test the waters, and if I don't like you, then bing, you're gone. You know, and you can see, once you get strong enough, you can feel that little bit of difference. I don't know how to explain it.
No, I get it. I'm totally understanding. Right, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna take a quick break here, Heather, and then we'll come back and we'll take a couple of calls. And again, Tim, why don't you throw out that phone number right now?
952-830-1470.
And now, should they have a specific question in mind so we can nail out a question or two real quick for each one of these?
Yeah, don't ask me anything convoluted. Ask me a very specific question.
Okay. All right, good deal. Well, we will do that. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. And God, I'm glad you're here with us doing that this evening. We're going to be back with our guest, Heather Woodward, doing a few tarot readings for you, our listeners, right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the seven bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to the darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the edge of town.
Hey, good evening and welcome back to the show. Our guest is Heather Woodward, and she is a clairvoyant and a medium. She is a tarot reader, and she is also hosting the upcoming 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention at the very haunted Glen Tavern Inn, July 20th through the 21st. And you're going to come out and see great speakers like Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, Richard Sennett, Tom Durant, Bill Murphy. I'll be out there. We're also going to, I think Derek is going to be there too from Capers, is that right?
Yep, Derek Bartlett. He's awesome.
Okay, great. Yeah, we've got a lot of fantastic speakers that are going to be a part of the event. So come on out. Let's mention real quick before we start this reading, you've got a special price point that you're making available for paranormal groups and so on, correct?
Yeah, if you're part of an active paranormal group, we're giving out half-price tickets right now at $62.50 instead of $125. And that's only until July 15th.
Okay, so how can they get that? They go to?
You can go to www.woodwardpsychic.com, and then they just go ahead and email me and just tell me how many they need and what paranormal their group from they're from. But they have to be active.
Active in a paranormal group.
Yep, that's it.
And they can get up for $62.50 as opposed to the,
which
the $125, bucks, right?
Yeah.
All right,
yes.
That's fantastic. So make sure that you email Heather, tell her that you heard about this on Darkness Radio, and that you're interested in attending and getting half-price tickets. So make sure that you sign up for that. That's going to be a great deal. And again, that's www.woodwardpsychic.com. And that's WOODWARDPSYCHIC.COM.
Yep. Also, if you can't make it to California because you live somewhere else, we are doing live web stream on the video with the chat room. It's interactive. So that's another option you can do. And it's $40 for both days.
Oh, that's great. Only $40 for that. And then, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be hosting a nice little Q&A with Chris Fleming and Patrick Burns. So you can contact us that way as well and ask any questions of Chris, Patrick, or I. And we'll share stories about events that we've done and live investigations and some of our history as well. So make sure that you... you come out and check that out, and if you can't be there live, that sounds like a great way to be a part of it, is to check out the internet version.
Yeah, definitely, because we're having all of our speakers there, and the workshops are going to be on there, too. And
great.
Like their Q&A we're going to do, and we're going to do a couple other Q&As, and you'll also be able to see the seance and go on the investigation with us. So it should be really interesting.
Good deal. Well, do you have your cards all shuffled and ready up for us here, Heather?
I do, in fact.
All right. Well, we need you to speak up as loud as you can. And we've got Melinda, I think, on the line with us. And Melinda, I'm going to need you to speak up as loud as you can because our phone unit's a little woogie here. So sometimes you can hear each other really well. Sometimes it's a little quiet. But Tim and I will try to help you bridge that gap and answer the questions for you if you're having trouble hearing each other. Melinda, are you there?
I sure am.
Great. And Heather, you're there?
Yeah. Hi, Melinda.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Cool.
Now, you've got a question now you'd like to hit up Heather with?
No particular question. I guess maybe my profession and where it's heading. You know,
so
am
you
I in the right
question?
Field?
Is she in the right field? Where is her profession heading for her?
Okay.
Should she give up her job and all of her earthly goods and come live and be a fan of Dave and Tim at all times?
There you go.
Yes. Oh,
you
yeah,
go.
Right.
Listen to her out.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Just being honest.
All right. Well, we'll let Heather shuffle and.
Okay. So she wants to know, basically she wants to know if she's in the right field.
You just basically want to know if you're in the right field for a career?
For my career, yeah.
And if
that's headed in the right direction, and just, generalities of my life.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, well, what I got strongly
place?
Here when I pulled cards was, first of all, she's a little bit of a skeptic. I got that right away. Secondly...
Are you hearing that okay, Melinda?
I can barely hear.
She's saying that she picked up right away that you were a skeptic. She was picking that
just
up.
A little bit.
A little bit, okay.
She was a little bit leery of calling, or she was skeptical of it.
Yeah, you're kind of skeptical of doing the calling and the reading.
Yeah.
Okay, and then also, she's having a lot of, she's feeling very overburdened right now. So there's a sense of being overburdened by what she's doing in her career. I would say that...
Are you feeling like you're kind of overburdened by what you're doing in your current career, Melinda?
Definitely.
Just too much responsibility is what I'm getting. Just
yeah,
a lot
too
of,
much responsibility for her.
And not she's not getting paid enough.
And that you're not getting paid enough.
What it is that
pretty.
She's wondering if what she the fruits of her labors are ever going to come about, because right now she's feeling like she's not getting anything out of what she's doing, and she's really, really wondering why the hell she chose this field in the first place.
Are you basically what she's saying to you, Melinda, in case you're having trouble hearing her, is that you're kind of at the point where you're wondering why you even chose this field in the first place, and will the fruits of your labor ever be realized? Will you ever, be rewarded properly for the job that you do?
I'm not necessarily questioning the field that I'm in, just the direction in the field that I'm going, because there's so many different realms,
okay,
of areas that I can touch in, and I don't know
is she
if
in television
I'm on the
or
right track
to do with,
per se
with production.
Are you involved in television or something to do with some form of production, Melinda?
No, not really.
Are you in the
porn
industry?
I do a lot
industry?
Of awareness type
okay.
stuff. But not
is that what she wants to do? I got television really, really strong.
She's getting television for you really, really strong. Is that something that you'd like to do?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I
never really thought about
not
that.
In front of the camera, but behind the camera, it's like a producer.
Yeah, she's seeing you more like behind the camera, like a producer or an organizer.
Really?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay.
I would say that she's a very, very creative person, and she's not using her creative skills very well.
She says that she's picking you up as more like a really creative person, and maybe you're just not getting to, extend those creative skills as well.
That's probably a true statement too.
Yep, she feels that's true.
Okay, because I see that she's really not tapping into her potential because of some fear. There's something about it feels like she had a creative project, like I don't know if it's television, but something like that, something where it was sort of in the arts, and it went south or something like that, and she has some fear, like she has to work really, really hard instead of being creative.
Were you able to hear that, Melinda?
Only a little bit, not
yeah.
a whole bunch.
What she was basically saying is she kind of felt that maybe you were working on a project in the past that didn't make it or didn't come to fruition very well. So you've kind of been, how did you say that, Heather? You just kind of...
It's fear. It's a fear-based thing.
It's kind of a fear-based thing. So now, because you kind of failed once, that now you kind of push yourself hard to get something done and get noticed. Does that feel right to you?
Yeah, that's kind of it. Like, she works too hard now, and she's not. She feels like she has to work hard in order to sort of validate what she's doing.
Right, like you have to work really hard to validate what you're doing.
That's true.
Okay.
I would say that I'm feeling like September-ish, like late August, early September. There's going to be a career opening of some sort, something that she's always wanted to do. I'm getting that television strong again, production.
So you're feeling at the end of August, beginning of September, there's going to be something for a job change, an opportunity that will come open, and she should really seriously look into that.
Yes, and it's going to put her on a totally different path, something that she never expected that she was going to do. It's very creative. I keep seeing cameras. I keep saying television, but it's cameras. There's cameras around. There's production happening. She's writing stuff down. She's telling people what to do. So I don't know if she's in field production or something like that. Or
okay.
Maybe she's working in a building like that, but there's a lot of stuff going on.
So look for...
Don't worry about the money aspect of it. Don't worry about money right now.
Don't worry about money right now, she's telling you? Okay.
You have money coming.
You do have money coming.
You're going to either get a raise or promotion.
Or a promotion? Okay. Will that be before within the next 6 weeks?
Yes.
So do you think that raise or promotion will have something to do with the change in August, beginning of September, or will that be
a totally
different thing?
No, I think what's going to happen is this promotion that she's getting, it's a promotion, it's not a raise. It's a promotion, she's going to meet people.
Okay.
And through that, I don't know what she does now, but through that, that's what's going to propel her to actually be able to get the other job, because it's going to give her the confidence that she needs to move forward.
She's saying that whatever, you're going to get some kind of change at work that will give you a little bit more of a higher profile, and that should be what leads you to get the work and a job that you feel more secure in, and you get more acknowledgement in, and maybe you get a chance to use your skills a little bit better for.
Yeah, because right now I feel like it's a confidence issue. It's not because she's not smart or she's not able to do her job. It's that she doesn't have the confidence to be in a higher position.
Right, and she's saying that she feels that maybe your confidence is a little lacking, and that might be what's holding you back at this point. But once you kind of break through that wall and your confidence is up, that's when you're going to get noticed.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
Then what about my love life?
What about your love life?
Love life.
I sense good-looking bald men at paranormal convention. Tim and I are winking at each other.
Does she have a child?
Do you have a child from another man?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think, is she single right now? I don't feel like she's attached to anybody right now.
She doesn't feel you attached to anybody right now. Is that right? Are you single?
No.
No, you are.
Sure?
You are attached to somebody?
You going through a divorce then?
Are you going through a divorce right now?
Oh, no.
No, very happily with somebody else?
Yep.
You sure?
Maybe you should give Tim your phone number anyway.
Then why are you asking about your love life?
Yeah, what do you...
I just don't feel like her love life is very stable right now. Maybe she won't talk about it on the radio, because I wouldn't. But I don't see her as being very attached to her husband. If she has a husband or a relationship, I just don't see it.
That I'm not, or I am?
She feels that you're not. There's not a real attachment. Yeah, she doesn't feel that the attachment is very strong between you and the current person that you're with.
I think that it has to do with the child more than the relationship.
And
itself.
It has to do more with the child than the relationship itself.
Well, you can't really call her a child.
Well, whoever it is, it she came with a child.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense.
Interesting.
To her, though,
okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Melinda. Thank you for calling in on the Darkness on the Edge of Town. And we've got another call here we'll try to get to before we get back into the conversation of the night. And I think we have Jen on the line. Is that right, Jen?
Yep.
Okay, Jen, you've got do you need to shake out here for a second, Heather, and reshuffle your cards?
I got it.
All right, you ready to go?
And remember, jokers are wild.
That's
and,
right.
yeah. Well, we're playing basic,
Yeah.
Is it Hold'em?
Yes, Texas Hold'em tarot version.
Yes, Texas Hold'em, are we doing?
Yes, tarot Hold'em.
I'm doing 5 cards. So.
Excellent. All right, so Jen, I'm going to try to help translate. Now, remember, Heather, that they're having a hard time hearing you because our phone unit's a little woogie here. So when I'm repeating it, I'm just trying to get them back into
totally
the mix. So what's your question, Jen? What would you like to know?
First first off, I want to know if she was actually doing mine or not, the last person. Because those are the exact same questions I had.
Really? She's saying that she feels that that your reading is maybe
for her.
Yeah, it was a little bit more appropriate for her.
You know what? That's funny because when she was on the phone, I was like, I shouldn't even shuffle the cards. She's probably going to have the same cards.
Okay.
That happens. I think I was reading the other person, but maybe I was reading her. I don't know.
All right.
But I definitely think it pertains to the person I was talking to before because I got her really strongly. So.
All right. So you've got. So your question is basically about your career as well, Jen, and about your love life.
My life is at a crossroads right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me pull five cards and see what we have here. Huh. No, this is random. Uh-oh. She got a lot of the same cards. and I actually shuffled. I actually threw the cards on the bed and just picked them randomly. I didn't even shuffle. Okay, you got a few different cards, though. Let's see here. Well, you have the same money issue thing going on where you don't feel like you're getting paid enough. That's definitely coming through.
Yeah.
She agrees with you on that.
As far as, okay, your relationship is coming in more strongly than your career is.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what you're preoccupied with right now, but
could
I feel like
be.
The person you're with, or the he feels like you're with him now, or maybe you just broke up with him, I'm not sure, but there's just some male, I would say he's not a real emotional person. He's very, very linear as far as thinking goes. Ooh, he has a really strong personality. He's very, very, I want to say dark, but that's not the right word.
Are you hearing all this, Jen?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Is
she hitting the nail on the head for you?
No, dark is not the wrong word. He's just really serious or something.
What?
Is he just too serious, Jen?
Could be.
Do you want to go wake him up, put him on the phone, and let's find out?
He just doesn't have a lot of emotional quality to him. He's very about actions, about, you know, how things work. He doesn't really want to connect as far as emotionally, and maybe that might be where they're having the issue, because I sense that she wants more of a connection with him, emotional connection, and it's just not going to happen with him. He just has some really, really, really strong issues about how he was raised. And so he is not going to change his ways. So what you see is what you get, basically, with him.
Okay.
All right. You getting all that?
Yeah.
All
Does
right.
that make sense to you?
Kind of.
Okay.
Is he a lawyer or in law enforcement or something like that? Like, he has some sort of job that is very, upper. Like, he's somebody who's, like, an official or somebody who's,
oh my God, that's weird.
Yep.
I can't hear her.
Yeah, she's saying, yeah, that's weird.
That's weird?
Yeah, he is in a position like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's part of it, too, is because he takes his job home with him.
Oh my God,
so
yes.
He's in that mode, and he just doesn't get out of it, you know? And so, again, like, what he says is, that's it.
So what he says is law?
Pretty much.
Okay.
So, and you're never going to get around that.
And you're never going to get around that.
Emotionally. The other thing, too, is you are your own worst enemy right now as far as career and emotionally.
Oh, my God.
You're just
yeah.
not seeing things in the correct way. You are focusing inwardly on what you're not getting, and you're not seeing what is really out in front of you.
Okay.
Okay. She was doing a lot of, mm-hmm, oh my God, yeah, so.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
As far as you know.
I think what you need to do here, okay, I get the moon. I do things in moon phases sometimes. So I'd say in about 28 days, what is that? I don't even know what today is.
The 1st of July.
Okay, so at the end of July.
Uh-huh.
28 days, the moon cycle. We're talking moon cycles here. The next 28 days, you need to figure out what you want to do with your life. You have the answers right in front of you. Again, like I told the other person, don't worry about money. The money is not the problem. It's how you feel about yourself. This is
So yeah. Work on you, and then all the rest will
come? Yeah, I feel really strongly that she's just not taking care of herself. And that's the problem. Take the next 3 or 4 weeks and really think about what you want. Don't worry about this other person. This other person has a very strong personality. He's got a very, very, very his way or the highway kind of thing going on. And I think because of that, she's feeling burdened by him. And she's not thinking about herself. And she really needs to think about what she wants.
Are you hearing that, Jen?
Her happy.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
And right. When you do that, again, like I told the person before, when you do that, when you think of yourself, then the opportunities will come.
Okay.
But right now, she's so in herself that she can't see the opportunities in front of her. And I think once she opens her eyes, if she does, August, different job.
Oh, thank God.
All right, good. So phone sex operator is back on the table for you, Jen.
And you know what? I just don't think that this person that she's with is really going to work out.
Okay. All right.
God, I hate saying that to people.
Well, that's all right. It's better than telling her it will work out and it doesn't.
Yeah.
And she ends up on, like, Unsolved Mysteries or something weird.
I just feel like she's such an emotional person, and she has such a good energy, and she's so just... such a really sincere person. I hate to see her being so squashed by the relationship.
Aww, thank you.
Aw. Well, we've got, that was Jen. Jen, we're going to move on. We've got one other call ringing in here, Heather, if we can get this last one, and then we'll go into the rest of the conference.
Sure.
Is that okay? And we've got, is this Lee on the line?
Stewie. Yep.
Stewie, how are you, sir? All right, so you've got a specific question for this young lady, Heather. What would you like to know?
I'm working on an important business deal, and I was just wondering when it would go through.
Okay, let me pull some cards. It's not going to go through right away, just so you know. I just got that roll.
She's saying it won't go through right away. Can you hear her okay, Lee?
Just barely.
Okay, she's saying that she's pulling the cards right now, but she's getting the immediate sense that it's not going to be a real fast resolve to this.
Are you sure you want to do this?
I'm sorry.
That's my other question. Are you sure you want to do this?
Are you sure you want to do what?
Whatever his business proposal is or whatever it is?
She wants to know, are you sure that you really want to do whatever this is, this opportunity is?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely, he's saying.
Okay. Whew. A lot of competition. A lot of competition. May I ask what it is?
She said she's picking up a lot of competition on this, and she wants to know what it is that you're what you're doing.
Well, I've already beat out the competition. It's in architecture, so we've got the contract.
Yeah, they've got the contract, and it's for architecture. So they've already beat out the competition on this. They have the contract.
I just don't feel it. I'm sorry. God, I'm like, no, you're not gonna. I'm positive. let me think here. There's still a lot of competition, and I know you think you have it, but I'm thinking you don't. Or there's going to be something, like some sort of... I'm wondering why you asked the question, because if you think you have it, then why are you asking the question? And I just got so strong that there is a lot of competition, and even though you are a very, very, very good at what you're doing here, you came up with the King of Wands, which is a very, very strong card. It's someone who's very, very creative, very passionate, can do just about anything they want to do, and they do. They set out to do whatever they want, very successful. You're going to be very successful if you're not already, but you're going to be more successful here. But I...
You know, this is my brother, so give him a really good reading. Although when you said he's the King of Wands, I already pictured him as a big fairy. Why, anyway, so you just clean that up for me.
Right.
I see so much of competition, so much of problems, a lot of...
Oh, turn on your radio, Stewie.
I hear myself.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're getting weird feedback. Stewie, okay, turn on the radio.
It's all the way off.
It's all the way off. What is that weird echo?
Weird. Okay.
Creepy.
But I just see a lot of trouble with this. I would, if it was me, I would back out of this right away.
So you think maybe not sink as much more time into it as he should?
No,
or?
I would say let it kind of... There's going to be other issues happening.
Okay.
And like I said, the competition thing came out in so strong, and I think there's other people involved and other factors that he's just not aware of. Also, be careful of your health right now.
Be careful of your health right now. Yeah,
it's nothing. It's nothing major. It's just, I think he's wearing himself down. I think you're wearing yourself down, and I think that if you don't watch out right now, you're overextending yourself a lot, and I get the sense that you're going to get a cold or a flu or something like that. So I would say pull back.
So that large pizza wasn't a good idea tonight?
What'd you say?
He said that large pizza wasn't a good idea tonight then?
I think you're fine with that. I just think that you just need to just really rest, relax, take a day off, take a couple days off, rejuvenate, because I think you're working too hard. And like I said, I got the sense of a cold or a flu or something like that, where it's kind of forcing you to take some time off. But you can, like I said, if the thing is with readings, if I tell you something and you do it, usually it doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, if you get sick, if I tell you take some time off, rest, then you won't get sick because you've done something to counteract it.
Okay. So take a couple days to yourself, Lee. Take a break.
And back out of it.
And back out of your job. Give it up. Come work for me. Changing diapers all day.
Just this one deal
you feel might be more trouble than it's worth, is what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep you abreast of that. And Heather, I'll be out in 2 weeks out to California. I'll let you know how it went with him, because I think he's hoping to hear back from it by then.
Yeah, definitely.
We're letting Lee Stewie off the line here. So let's talk a little bit now about the event. And I want to thank you very much for spending some time talking to some of the listeners tonight and giving them a chance to ask you questions.
Oh, no problem. I hope I did well. I mean, I'd love to know what happened.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll try to get everybody in there. And when Jen leaves her husband because you told her to, and the other girl quits her job because you told her to, and my brother hangs himself because you said that his life is over and he's not going to get the big deal, well, I'll keep you abreast of all of that.
I was such a downer. I know. Damn. No, but I mean, it's really positive if you think about it, though. I mean, there's lots of opportunities out there. It's just right now they're kind of in – but we're in a Mercury retrograde, too. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah. Who could forget that?
Yeah.
Mercury retrograde. I didn't know that. Our lovely intern here is waving. She's into this and knows all about the retrograde stuff. So retrograde's bad time, though, right? That's kind of when you want something, you try to do it, and it kind of goes the opposite direction on you.
It's ridiculous. A lot of car trouble, a lot of computer. My computer actually died.
We have a moment of silence for your electrical computer stuff.
Arguments. Okay. You'll always do everything twice.
So really?
It's just ridiculous.
Come here, ladies. All right. So let me we're going to go real quick into this. We're going to skip our final break for the night, Tim, because we've only got about 8 minutes left on the show. Okay. Let me ask, tell us a little bit about the Glen Tavern Inn so that we know a little bit of the history of this for the conference.
The Glen Tavern Inn was built in 1911. It was there's a train station right across the street. And so there Santa Paula was actually going to be the second Hollywood for silent films.
Okay.
And so they didn't have anywhere to house actors and film crew and such, and they didn't really have any hotel, actually. So a bunch of the richer people in town each put in $25,000, and they raised enough money to build the Glen Tavern Inn. At first, up until the early middle 20s, it was the most glamorous hotel in the area.
Okay.
People came for miles to stay there. Clark Gable stayed there. Houdini stayed there. John Wayne stayed there later on. Just a lot of big people. Drew Barrymore's father stayed there. I forgot his name. But a lot of people stayed there.
Mr. Barrymore. We'll just go with that.
Yeah, Mr. Barrymore. I forgot his first name.
But, is it John? John Barrymore?
John Barrymore. Thank you very much.
John
that
Barrymore.
Is it.
Yep, okay.
So in the 20s, it would mostly house film crews. Gaston Millay was there. He's the brother of George Millay, and they did silent westerns all throughout Santa Paula. And his film crew stayed there extensively. And then later on, during Prohibition, it became a speakeasy. And then it was also a house of gambling, and it was also a brothel at that time, too.
Now, how many spirits do they feel are currently haunting this place?
Oh, my goodness. Last I counted was 18, but I know there's more. The place has
now. Are there hooker ghosts there? Are there actors ghosts there? Or is it a mixture of all kinds of ghosts?
Everything you could possibly imagine. We have prostitutes.
Can you make sure that that's the room I get?
Sure. Sure.
How much do they charge?
They have French perfume salesmen. There's an oil rig man who actually died in one of the bathrooms. On the third floor, there was a woman who was decapitated.
Oh, my.
There's a few shootings that happened there that are documented. You gotta remember, they're gamblers, you know what I mean? A lot of Western guys and actors and drinking and brandy and women. And
now, are there any famous actors that they feel still hang out there?
Houdini,
frankly,
actually.
Really, Houdini?
Houdini. He actually, it's a great story. He actually only stayed there one night. The tracks got washed away because of, you know, they got really muddy and stuff because of the rain. And his whole crew actually had to stay at the Glen Tavern, and they filled up the place. But Houdini was really, really paranoid of anybody touching his stuff. And so he actually slept upstairs in the attic with his stuff, with his bag of tricks. And in that room where he stayed, in the attic, a lot of weird stuff has happened. People have seen shadows. People have heard things in there. They actually seen Houdini in there. He seems to be one of the more active people. I actually saw, I didn't know who he was at the time. I actually saw Gaston Millay actually standing in front of me, which was kind of weird. And I described him to somebody who was a historian. And he said, oh, I know who that is. And so we did a test to see if I was correct. And we looked up a picture of him. And I actually described him to a T to the person that was looking at the screen. And I wasn't looking at it. And so it was him.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, he's really interesting.
So now we're going to be doing a live seance from the Glen Tavern Inn as well?
Yes, in room 104 and also room 107. 107 is haunted by a woman named Pearl, and we think that she was a French madam. She was like a pimp, I guess, in that day. she looked over all the girls, and she was French, and she actually got strangled with her own pearls.
Oh, hence the name Pearl.
Yes, hence the name Pearl. That's what we call her.
Okay.
We're doing a seance in there, and then also we're doing a seance in 104, and there's a great story about a prostitute named Rose. He was in the 1940s, and she was a madam to somebody in the World War One,
okay.
World War II. And she haunts that room. And her favorite thing to do is open and close the door. So if you close the door and you leave, when you come back, the door will be open.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And
did they pay a lot for that from hookers back in the old days, or what?
Yeah, keep the door open.
Come on, baby, I'll open the door. 25 cents.
And she'll leave the light on for you.
I was actually there, and it happened right in front of us. We just turned the corner for a second and looked back. The door was totally wide open, and it was a locked door. And I told another investigative group about it that we took there.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't believe me. And every time they walked out of the room, the door would be open or closed, depending on how they kept it. And they're like, oh, my gosh, you were right. And I was like, I wouldn't lie to you about that.
How about when you lock it, will it still open up?
Yes.
Really?
The one time that it happened with us, there was nobody in the room. We tested the lock. We walked out, not even 30 seconds, turned around, the door was fully open.
Wow. Very cool. And so we're going to be doing a lot of... Now, where are the talks actually going to be held?
There was a side room called the Citrus Room, and it's a very large room, so all the speakers will be in there, and the lobby is going to be vendors and just people milling about.
Excellent. And again, for people that would like to attend this, they can go to woodwardpsychic.com to look up all the information. And if you want to go there and you are part of an active paranormal group, you can get in for half price. Just email, what do you need, the name of the paranormal group?
Yeah, just who they are, the name of the paranormal group, and how many tickets they need.
All right, very cool.
And that's it, and I can send them.
That's awesome. And we've got, I mean, everybody knows who I am, and Chris and Patrick and, you know, Richard Sennett, of course. Talk a little bit about the guys from Capers, because that's a great group, and let them know a little bit about who those guys are, Derek and Tom.
Yeah, they're from the East Coast. Tom is actually from Rhode Island. He talks about shadow people, and he has some great stories about shadow people. And Derek is awesome. He's talking about the dangers of paranormal, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. He's a great guy, and he's really, really nice, and you can just go up to him and ask him questions, and he's totally cool with it. So,
yeah, definitely. He's been at, I think I met him at UNIFCON 2 years ago, and I've emailed him since, and he's probably one of the most intelligent guys in the paranormal field that I've had the opportunity to talk to, and very helpful. He is a, you know, when we were starting a paranormal group, I wanted to know what are the good kind of questions to ask for interviewing, and he really took his time to set us up with some really, really impressive stuff, so... He is well worth listening to just for himself.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And Tom is just awesome. He's the more I get to know him, the more it's just like, wow. They're a great group. They take themselves very seriously, and they know their stuff. So
great. And I hear Chris Fleming will be selling kisses for $5.
Aww. That's what I heard.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's the sweetest ever.
Now Tim's coming.
I'll
Maybe
be there.
Maybe he'll count on
Houdini. Very cool. Well, Heather, I really appreciate you being on the show, doing the readings with us tonight, sharing the wisdom that you had with us about what's going on with Tarot. And now, if people want, you're going to actually be doing a clinic there on Tarot reading, is that right?
Yeah, we're doing a workshop. We're doing a beginning Tarot workshop. We are providing cards, so and we're also.
Are you beeping yourself? What was that?
I don't know what that was. That was bizarre, but yeah, we're doing an Enter the Tarot workshop. We're doing a demonology workshop. I'm actually doing a walking tour, a walking ghost tour of the Glen Tavern Inn. So if you want to know more of the history, I know tons of it. So
okay, great.
We're going to go floor by floor, and I'll tell you all the main stories and why they think ghosts are there. So,
you know, I asked this question of the last guest, and we've only got about a minute left. I'm just curious about this with you. With all the work in paranormal investigations you've ever done, have you ever been on an investigation only to find that there's also an alien presence there?
Alien? Like,
yeah, like phone home. I mean, like outer worldly.
Never.
Phone home.
IDB is like interdimensional beings, yes, but never aliens, no.
Okay, well, what do you believe is the difference between an IDB and an alien?
I don't know.
One eats races pieces and the other eats...
Alien, I guess the big flying saucer thing.
Okay, all right. But you do feel that there are creatures from other dimensions that are popping
definitely.
In and out?
Okay. Definitely, especially if a portal, yeah. I've seen some crazy stuff that I can't even tell you that I will, okay, that is not of this world, no way.
Really?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I'm going to take you aside and hear all these stories then when we're out at the Glen Tavern Inn.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ask me about Nordhoff.
Nordhoff?
Nordhoff Cemetery, ask me. Ask Tom.
All right.
Actually, we saw it together, so it was a group hallucination thing.
Group hallucination, good.
No,
at least you guys had the good weed that night, is that it?
No, we did. No, actually three of us saw the same thing, which was Mondo Bizarro. So.
Okay. And again, it's taking place on July 20th and 21st in Santa Paula, California at the Haunted Glen Tavern Inn. And if you want more information about that, just check out her website and go to Heather's website at woodwardpsychic.com. That's WOODWARD. PSYCHIC.com. Tell her that you heard her on Darkness Radio and that you'd like to attend. You can get your tickets there. And if you're part of an active paranormal group, just contact her with the name of the paranormal group and your name and how many tickets you need, and she'll be able to help you at half off. And that is a special going on only through July 15th. So make sure that you take advantage of that while you have the chance. Thank you all for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. And we'd like to thank our guests for the evening, Miss Serenity Moore in the first hour and Heather Woodward in the second hour. I hope that we got your questions answered. Thank you all for being a part of the show this evening. We'll be back again next week with a brand new show. So make sure that you tune in. Look forward to talking to you then. And remember to check out our website for all updates on all new upcoming events at darknessevents.com. I'm your host, Dave. Along with me, Tim Dennis. We'll be back with you next week. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you again real soon.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.